on the fan on this, what is it, Wednesday? I don't know what day it is. I think it's Wednesday. On this Wednesday morning, I got you for 3 hours till 5 o'clock. Fliegelman is back from the other side of the pond. We'll see what it was like out in London for him as we get through the show. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. That's right, I got you till the warm-up show at 5 o'clock. You know, we'll start with the baseball before we get to the Rodgers story and the absolute overblown nonsense that we hear always from the Jets. But let's talk about baseball and the two teams, yet again, doing what they do and what they've done all year. And for me, momentum, despite the season being 162 games, and despite, you know, the idea of sometimes we treat it as if it's 162 one-game season, sometimes it's just a stretch. The momentum of seasons, especially here as we've hit the third of the way through the season, and you start to try and figure out who your team is, right? And for the Mets, there's kind of a line of demarcation. You could talk about that weekend for both teams, kind of lines of demarcation, where, all right, it's the Dodgers series, Soto's dealing with an injury, and then there's the Mets in Philadelphia coming off a sweep of Washington, going out to London, getting a split, and now how do they do returning? And for both teams coming off those series, the Yankees have done what they do, and the Mets do what they do. And again, last night for the New York Yankees, we see what the New York Yankees do, which is excellent starting pitching, what we get again from Stroman, who's been just unbelievable. I think you could argue it's the best free agent signing of the year. I mean, the guy's been great. And for the value they got him for, and I mean, it's just, they throw it out there every single night. Like, let's just take a second and marvel at what the Yankees pitching has done. I know we're going to marvel at Aaron Judge and another home run, which, by the way, if you listened to the show last night, I told you Judge off a day off is almost a guaranteed home run. I know he's pretty much a guaranteed home run every game these days, but off a day off in particular, he always mashes. So I know we're going to marvel at him, and we're going to marvel at this offense, and Wells gets involved. And we should, because another performance against a damn good starting pitcher. We pick and choose who we determine to be good starting pitching and whether or not the Yankees can hit it. When the Yankees don't hit a good starting pitcher, it's, oh, they can't hit starting pitching. Good starting pitching. When they do hit a good starting pitcher, as they did to Singer last night, oh, well, listen, it's the Royals. I mean, is he really that good? He wasn't that good last year. He's got an under 3 ERA. He's been one of the better pitchers for them on a team that's 10 games, what was 12 games over 500 heading in, and they took care of Lugo. They took care of Singer. Both two excellent starting pitchers pitching great for this team, and the main reason, and one of the main reasons, they are where they are this year as opposed to being one of the worst teams in baseball like they've been the last handful of years. So yes, this lineup up and down, up and down. And now that Juan Soto's fully entrenched back, playing out in the outfield, you feel a little bit like this was the full lineup. And yes, top to bottom, if Wells could ever actually do anything, he's been terrible this year, and he hits a big 3-run home run in this game, they pull away Judge, Stanton. But really, I'm sorry, as great as, and as much as we'll always have this talking point of what this Yankee offense is, and what Judge can be, and what Soto is, and what they are without Soto, and that was the conversation coming from the Dodgers, it's every single night they are throwing out a starting pitcher that goes five, six innings guaranteed, who's going to give you a good start. I mean, the starting pitching without Gerrit Cole has been mind-bogglingly good. I mean, historically good. It is crazy what Matt Blake, and then you get into the bullpen, and we talked last night and yesterday about Tonkin and what they've done there for a guy who's been DFA'd three different times by two different teams. And yes, Judge is a beast, and this lineup top to bottom, and they showed you, and you know, the both these first two games against Kansas City, what they're capable of, both with Judge and Stanton out of the lineup. Right? In one night, they take Judge and Stanton out of the lineup, and they beat you with three sacrifice bunts, a couple of base hits, and excellent starting pitching. And then they bring in their mashers back, and it's 3-run home runs from the bottom of the order. It's Judge and Stanton hitting 440-foot home runs. Like, they can beat you a myriad of ways, but it all is predicated on this starting pitching and not giving up runs. And Stroman gives you another great performance from this rotation, and they just continue to build. And this was a big series, and they're only halfway through it, but they have manhandled the Kansas City Royals. Right? Oh, it's the Kansas City Royals. It's the Central. The Yankees have an ungodly record against the Central. They've only had one loss this entire year with one loss to Cleveland. And sure, Detroit's not that good. The White Sox are the worst team in baseball. But the Royals have had a great year. The Royals have one of the best players in baseball. Perez is one of the best hitting catchers of this generation. They've gotten excellent starting pitching. They were 12 games over 500 and in a wild card position as they welcomed in the big bad Yankees, who we all know, whether it's the Dodgers or anybody else, treat it like their own personal World Series. And the Yankees, undermanned in game one, came in there and took a victory and then just absolutely pounded them in game two. And that's what the Yankees do. And that's what this team has done. And that's why I feel like it's different. And that's why we saw, you know, what they can be, and then even some of the things we've been wringing our hands about. As you see Rizzo, who's been bad this year, and he's going to continue to be a conversation. I thought some of his at-bats, he just missed a double down the line by about a foot and a half. But defensively, he had an inning where you can't play better defense at first base. And that's still going to be a conversation by all estimation, and they're going to have to figure out something at first base. I'm still on that train. But after one game, I'm not going to, you know, get off it. But it might be something where Rizzo needs a day here and there, where Rizzo is part of a platoon, where you can platoon Rizzo as the left-handed hitter and still see him most of the time, but maybe against lefties, or maybe every, you know, once a week, even if you're facing all righties for that week. He needs some time off, some days off, maybe to, you know, fix his body or just feel better about things, because defensively, that was a performance last night that we haven't seen from Rizzo this entire year. So as they start to get better, as they continue to do what they do and continue on momentum and lose their first series in what feels like forever against the Dodgers, win the last game, and now have absolutely went into Kansas City, a playoff team here in this American League, and dominated them. And then we look to the Mets. We look to the Mets, who I told you I thought they were done after losing those two games to Arizona, because whether I'm right or wrong, I believe in momentum a lot. I do. I believe in momentum over the course of a year. And there's going to be times where it's up and down, and I get that. But for me, off that meeting in that four-game set against Arizona, and they come out and take the first two games in the way they did it, and then to lose the last two in the way they lost it, that's a momentum killer. And that's why I lost faith in this team, because they can't sustain momentum. And again, they get three games against Washington. They take care of the lousy Nationals, who did go on to sweep the Braves, so it's easy to call them that lousy. But maybe they're better than I give them credit for. Whatever. It's a good series sweep. You needed it. You go into London. You have a miraculous win in that last game in the London series, right? You have this great win. You come from behind. You have one of the best defensive plays from a catcher I've ever seen. I still think it's underrated in how good it is. And they come home off of that, about to play one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball. And for them, if you go back, you know, the Marlins have cost the Mets at almost every turn over the last 20 years. I mean, we could talk about the Braves and the dominance of the division and the Mets, right? And we could talk about the Philadelphia Phillies and how good they've been. But even when the Marlins haven't been good, I mean, back to the last game at Shea, just the whole, just every time. I mean, I would, you know, as a Met fan, you got to hate everyone in the division, but the Marlins in particular, because they're not better than you, and still they have these moments over you. And so to head back off of a great win, to find out earlier in the day that you're getting Alvarez back into the lineup. You're coming home to play the lousy Marlins. You take a lead in the game after falling behind 1-0, and the offense does absolutely nothing. Again, this offense does absolutely nothing. And for me, and I was, you know, I walk in and I talk to Fleegs, and I can see it on his face. I know exactly where he's going when I mention the Mets. Jeff McNeil is a waste of space. Okay, I know he came through with a big hit in the rally in the second game against Philadelphia in London. He hasn't played 4 out of the last 5 games. He's not in the lineup again for Iglesias last night. And yet, in a big spot in the 7th inning, this manager, who's talked about, we all know what Jeff McNeil is, we need Jeff McNeil to get back, I fully expect he will, and yet goes right back to putting him on the bench. In the 7th inning, down a run in this game, brings in Jeff McNeil to pinch hit when it's so clearly obvious they are going to go to a left-handed pitcher to neutralize him. And I don't even think you need a left-handed pitcher to neutralize Jeff McNeil, but you saw it coming a mile away. You saw it coming a mile away. And what happens? You know what happens. He swings and misses at strike 3, pulling out, his ass going in one direction, the bat going in the other, that same, you know, Ichiro-type swing, but he's not Ichiro. And I understand, you know, Iglesias is no great hitter, but I'd rather take my chances with Iglesias against a right-handed pitcher than I would Jeff McNeil right now, who rightfully so, this manager has shown you, and this new regime with Stearns has shown you, they are going to hold people accountable. They are going to hold people accountable, and if you don't play well, you're not going to play. I've talked about it. It's been the one thing about this team that I felt is a major positive moving forward and gives me faith. Besides the fact that Stearns has done it in Milwaukee, he's just started. I have faith in him for the most part. But the manager, this regime, even on a season where the expectations weren't ratcheted up that high, they still had a level of expectation where if you don't match it, if you don't meet it, you don't play. And that's why Jeff McNeil hasn't played. And that's why it was mind-boggling to me to watch him pitch in this game. It's not the only story of this game, but it's the most frustrating part of this game. J.D. Martinez hits one to the wall. You make a great play from Vientos, whose defense is much better. He comes through with the only offense of the game with a 2-run double. His defense has been far, you know, much better, both him and Beatty. And to give Beatty credit, too, I know he's killing it in AAA. He's a classic. I hate to say this, but he's a classic quadruple A player. And we'll see if he works his way back into this team, because I have a feeling he's going to, because they're going to trade away anybody who has any kind of value. But Vientos, he makes the stab. He can't make the throw. He had much more time than he thought. He doesn't make the throw. Bader gets there, makes the slide, it hits off the glove. Like, that is just typical Mets. But ultimately, they can't hold any momentum. And if they were ever going to have some coming off of that win in London against Philadelphia, having won 4 of their last 5, coming back to play one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball, who have already started trading away pieces in this new era of baseball where there are 3 wild card teams, where teams wait till the bitter end to see if they can work their way back into it. The Marlins are already trading away their best pieces to the Padres a month ago. And the Mets come into this game trying to build momentum. McGill didn't give them a great start, but he kept them in this game. The offense does nothing, and I know Lizardo's a good pitcher, and I know, you know, Alonso's particularly bad about him and doesn't see him well, but he has terrible at-bats in this game. And it just feels like the ball's going to go off the glove. They're going to make the great stab. They're going to throw it away. They're going to find a way to lose and not sustain any kind of solid baseball. And that's when I look at this Met team, that's what I think of. I think of a team that should be better than it is. I think of a team that surprised us in a couple of areas that we weren't expecting anything from, whether it's the starting rotation pretty much the whole year, whether it was the bullpen to start the year. But ultimately, the offense continues to sink this team. They're worse defensively than I thought they'd be. But ultimately, even against bad teams, even against when it feels like things are about to go well, you cannot come home and lose to the Marlins. Not in a game where you had every opportunity to win, and not in another game where the offense does nothing. And the Mets have to win these next 2 games. You can't lose a series to the Marlins. But ultimately, this is going to be what we thought it was 2 weeks ago. They are going to sell off all of these pieces. And don't let it fool you. And I know I am the king. All right? I am the king in my short time here, coming up on a year of hosting the overnights. Last year's baseball season, I was telling you all year long with the Yankees that, hey, all you have to do is get in. All you have to do is get in. Baseball's a crapshoot. It is a crapshoot. Don't tell me it's not a crapshoot. When Brian Cashman says it's a crapshoot, damn it, he's right. It's a crapshoot. And anything can happen. I was saying that all year. With the Mets, I don't want to trade Verlander. I don't think you should trade away this quickly. They're still in it. I didn't like the Robertson trade and when it happened, because I believe anything could happen. But this team consistently shows me that they are not a team that can play consistent good baseball. They are in a position right now with their franchise where they went into the season with expectations. They went into the season with a plan. And they have a couple of pieces here, especially in the starting rotation, that they would be foolish not to try and figure out a way to move. And Evan, please don't tell me that Jeff McNeil is going to get traded to the Yankees to solve their problems. Stop it. He's terrible. I want nothing to do with him. We have a Rizzo problem. You want to add a Jeff McNeil problem to it? But this team just can't continue to play well. They can't live off positivity. They immediately fall on their face the second they can. I understand they had to fly back from London. I'm sure, as I see Fliegelman, he's half awake. I understand it's not easy. But come back and beat the Marlins. And stop pinch hitting for Jeff McNeil when you bench them for a damn reason. And see if you could build some momentum here. But ultimately, this is who they are. A couple of good days, a bunch of bad ones. And a team that can't figure out a way to muster up enough goodwill here to continue it on and beat the Miami Marlins and go about trying to get back into this thing. And I don't care how many games back of the wild card. They're 3.5 fine. They're six teams ahead of them. And they can't beat the Marlins. So we got two teams going in opposite directions. Two teams, one who can build on momentum, and if it's stopped for a brief moment against a Dodger team in Yankee Stadium, they go right on the road and take it to a wild card team, to a playoff team, to one of the big surprises of Major League Baseball against their two best pitchers. And we watch Judge and Stanton and Wells and the rest of this lineup come in and he plays small ball in game one, dominate you in game two, continue to have this streak of pitchers who go four, five innings. It's crazy. And then the Mets coming off one of the better wins of the season against Philadelphia and London, coming from behind, ending it in amazing fashion with one of the better double plays by a catcher you will ever see. And they come home and they give you absolutely nothing. Drives you up a wall. You know what else drives you up a wall? Overreaction to nonsense, and that's what we'll get to with Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. We'll take your baseball calls up next, 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. I know everyone seems, for whatever reason, over the last couple days, it's been real trade deadline central. So what do the Yankees need to do to add at the deadline? And we all know what the question is with the Mets come the trade deadline. How can they get rid of Jeff McNeil? That's the question. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. So we got plenty to do. I got you all the way to 5 o'clock in the morning. Maybe at some point we'll talk hot dog eating contest. I can't believe that's actually just came out of my mouth, but I suppose it's possible. We'll get to the Rodgers and Jets, and obviously Reddick as well, who is a no-show, along with Aaron Rodgers, who had something very important to do. What's wrong with you people? It was important.